First of all, I just want to say thank you to Pastor Stephen and Unami for giving me this opportunity. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for C3 Kwinana. Lord, I thank you for every person here, every family that is represented. And Father, I just pray that as I speak, Father, that this is your message. And Father, Lord, I want it to encourage and inspire and challenge. But Lord, I just want to bring all glory to you. So Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you for what it's doing in the hearts of people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hello. My name is Helen Ricardo. I'm on staff at Fremantle, and I'll give you a little bit of background about me. I've been actually in the church, C3 Fremantle Kwinana, since we started, which was 26 years ago. So I first came to the church. We moved from Albany. I was pregnant with my second child, and we've now got three, and they've scattered all over the world, but just felt that this is where God wanted us to be planted. And it's really important to be planted and to just, not just to be planted, but to put down roots and grow. And when we do that, we will flourish. So along with Charlie, who runs Port Care up in Fremantle, we have three children who are all married, and we have a grandchild on the other side of the country. So the title of my message today is But We Had Hoped, and it comes from a scripture in Luke 24, verse 13 to 35. Now, who can tell me what happened 3 weeks ago? Easter? Yep. Resurrection Sunday. So I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's actually quite a long passage of scripture. But just to summarize, this is a story about two of Jesus' disciples who had walked with him, who had been with him. They had seen what he had done. They had heard the stories. They knew what the prophets had said. They knew what was going to happen. However, when it came to actually what had happened, they left Jerusalem discouraged, disappointed. So after the resurrection, I'm just going to give you a summary. After the resurrection, two discouraged disciples walked away from Jerusalem. As they walked on the Emmaus Road, Jesus came up and walked with them. This road of discouragement was transformed into a road of revival and hope. Encounters with Jesus are life-changing and encouraging. Disappointment, doubt, disillusionment, defeat, discouragement, despair and death, all of these words sum up how Cleopas and his companion were feeling as they trudged up that road towards Emmaus. They had left behind the downhearted and confused band of disciples who were afraid and bewildered over what had happened to Jesus on Good Friday. These two men, as they travelled along, were also sad and disillusioned. The master that they had loved and followed had been horribly put to death, a cruel and degrading death on a cross. Jesus had been made a public spectacle, exposed to the jeers of all who passed by, whereas only a week before, their hopes had risen to fever pitch when the excited crowds welcomed their master, waving palm branches and shouting, Hosanna. But now Jesus lay dead in a sealed tomb. Their hopes were dashed. The dream was over. You ever felt like that? Hopes dashed. But even this report of the women that Christ's tomb was empty didn't raise their spirits. It actually only confused them more. The two despondent disciples walking the road to Emmaus summed up the situation very neatly when they said, we had hoped that he would be the one who was going to set Israel free. Human hope is a very fragile thing, and when it withers, it is difficult to revive. We need to note, and it's interesting that Pastor Unami prayed against this, the number of people who take their own life because of despair and discouragement have sucked the last bit of hope out of their lives. when someone you love and care for is overtaken by a serious illness. Despair can set in. When financial troubles come, despair, disappointment, and discouragement can set in. It also almost becomes impossible to hope for recovery. You may even be afraid to hope because you believe that you couldn't cope with another letdown. When disillusionment, depression, and defeat dominate our lives, Jesus walks with us just as he walked with the two men on the road to Emmaus. He points us to God's word of promise in the Bible that tells us again that we are God's dearly loved children and that he will stand by us through thick and thin. He turns our despair, our disappointment, our discouragement into hope. Now, the road to Emmaus, I looked this up. They can't actually find it on the map, so they're not quite sure where it was. But do you know what? It doesn't matter where it is, because all of us have had a place called Emmaus, a place where we have gone to get away because we've been hurt, we've been disillusioned, we've been despondent, we're in despair. So it doesn't have to be a physical place, but it's a place that we've all gone to. So the road to Emmaus is a symbol of the Christian life at times. This story is about ordinary despair, an ordinary Monday morning drudgery. It's a story about meeting a stranger, hearing his words of comfort, sitting down at a table and sharing a meal. This is the story that enables us to see the risen Lord who gives hope and joy when all we see is disappointment, discouragement and despair. It enables us to see the world not as a place of death, decay and defeat, but as a place of hope. The story about the walk to Emmaus is a story for everyday life. If you are walking the Emmaus road right now, or when you will walk it in the future with those sad D's, disappointment, doubt, disillusionment, defeat, discouragement, despondency, depression and despair, let's remember we're not walking alone. The unseen stranger is the risen Jesus who is always walking with us. Many of God's people are faithful, caring, but also deeply discouraged. Discouraged people lose their ability to dream for the future. Despair replaces joy. Fear replaces faith. Anxiety replaces prayer. Insecurity replaces confidence. Discouraged spouses give up on marriage. Discouraged parents give up on teens. Discouraged leaders give up on people. When people lose hope, they lose their ability to dream for the future. In short, it's impossible. They say it's impossible to be spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, or relationally healthy when we're discouraged. Have you ever talked to somebody who's just so down and it doesn't matter what you say to them, you just cannot lift them out of those doldrums? We can live 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 8 minutes without air, but not a single second without hope. Now, our English meaning for hope, it doesn't actually convey what hope really means. Because when we say hope, it's like, I hope it happens. So we don't actually have that confidence that it's going to happen. But the Bible definition of hope, let me just go to that page. The basis for Christian hope is found in Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The Greek word for hope in this passage is hypostasis. And Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews, faith is the hypostasis of things hoped for. It literally means everything that underlies. Meaning our faith in Christ underlies our hope. It is the deeper our faith is, the more difficult it is for hope to be overthrown and turned into disappointment. Hope is the confidence assurance of what is going to happen. Hope liberates. Hope releases us from our past. So past expectations, past hurts, past disappointments. When we turn to hope, we're released from it. It sets us free. Hope motivates. It helps us to bounce back. The difference between people who thrive and people who decline is not that they don't get knocked down. It's that they bounce back up. Every successful person who has had to bounce back from discouraging circumstances, including every Bible hero. We know the stories. We know the defeats they've had, but they didn't stay. Michael Jordan, how many times did he fail? We don't hear about the failures. We only hear about the success. Edison with a light bulb. How many times did the light bulb not work? But he persevered. He continued. He bounced back. He didn't let the defeat keep him there. Hope initiates. Hope sets you free to dream. We have to dream. Some world changers have great resources and others have nothing. They make a major impact because they share one thing. You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have hope, nothing's going to happen. Their hope sparks dreams that bring change. Corrie Ten Boom hoped for freedom for the Jews. Martin Luther King hoped for freedom from discrimination. Malala Yousafzai had hope for an education. Those kinds of dreams don't happen without hope. Hope activates. Hope is the fuel that makes the world a better place. It causes us to rise up and to move on. Those disciples, they were there. They invited Jesus, they sat, they had a meal with him. At first, they didn't know who he was. They had no idea that the person that was walking alongside them was the man that they were grieving. But they sat, they broke bread, they spent time with him, and then their eyes were opened. Their hope was restored. Now, they were leaving Jerusalem because of that despair and discouragement, but after an encounter with Jesus, what did they do? Did they stay? Did they continue on that road? No, they got activated. They got stirred up. Their hearts were burning and they went back to Jerusalem. Those disciples, they went back to the other disappointed, discouraged disciples. They had seen what had happened. And you know what? The church was born. The church that we know today, the church that has gone on to change the world. The church that has made changes in this, that brings hope to a world, the church that has established hospitals, it's established schools, it's established so many universities, but it brings hope. And the world would not be the way it is today if those disciples had stayed in those doldrums of discouragement and despair, but they got that hope. A poll showed that the presence of hope makes a person more successful and satisfied, more compassionate and willing to meet needs, physically healthier, held to a higher standard, more likely to assume leadership, has more satisfying relationships, more productive and less affected by stress, and more likely to view God as loving and forgiving. Hope looks at what can be instead of what is. Hope looks at the future rather than the past. Hope believes in future possibility rather than resigning to current reality. We can look at our current situation and think there's no point, but God wants us to look to the future. Romans 5 verse 3 to 5 says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." We've got the Holy Spirit. Timothy Keller says, "You and I are unavoidably and irreducibly hope-based creatures. We are controlled by not, not by how we live now, but what we think will happen later. We all say it. I hope mum does this. I hope dad does this. I hope my husband. We all have that statement. Christian hope has to do with the ultimate future, not the immediate. It's not about the now, but it's about tomorrow. Hope unleashes compassion like nothing else. That small band of discouraged disciples who received hope, they took faith to the entire world. They became the world's most effective agents of hope. Can I ask, are you an effective agent of hope? Well, how do we turn despair and disappointment into hope? You know what it is? It's spending time with Jesus. Spending time in the Word, making time for Him. You know, he read scriptures over these disciples. They had an encounter with Him. When we have an encounter with Jesus, our worlds will change. Our despair will turn to joy. We're not meant to be alone. If you are not in a connect group, can I encourage you to get into a connect group? That's about us having fellowship with each other. It's about doing life together. It's about sharing the burden. If your church doesn't know that you're struggling, how can they pray for you? How can they encourage and support you? It's interesting, like Robert, you know, he's there in hospital with having major surgery potential, but he still knows that God's got him. His faith is still there, knowing that, and that he can even make a joke. You know, like that's how we should be. Despite our circumstances, we still need to rise. When our Emmaus road is filled with discouragement and despair, let's walk it with Jesus. Let's not walk it alone. Walking with Jesus, our road will become a highway of companionship, conversation, belief, and hope. This is the reason that Jesus came to this earth. The solution to those needs is not religion or ritual, but it's a relationship with Jesus. Jesus came because he wanted to have a relationship with you. So never forget that. Embrace Jesus. Spend time with him. Spend time in his word. And hopes will soar. Two disciples left Jerusalem discouraged. They met with Jesus. He spoke over them, and then they went back along the road from Emmaus to Jerusalem, filled with hope. Can I encourage you today that if your life or you've got situations that you feel are just too much for you, that you can't see a way out, that there is despair or discouragement, can I encourage you? Just hand it over. Give it over to the Lord. Don't carry it on your own. Share with your connect leader. Share it with somebody so that somebody can journey with you. And have you actually given it over to the Lord? Have you said to him, here, this is too much for me. I can't carry this. So today, just want to encourage you to spend time with him and allow him to be the Lord of your situation. You might have family that are unwell, that are facing serious illness. You might have families that have relationship problems and you can't see that there's a way out. But you know what? It's not about giving false hope, but it's actually putting our trust in Jesus and knowing that he has got us in every situation. So if anyone would like prayer, I'm going to ask that you just come forward. I would love to pray for you. And just know that Jesus loves you and he wants you to have a life filled with hope.